الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Earlier today we spoke about the example of a tree, and we mentioned that some scholars have written that Islam is similar to a tree, and the trunk of that tree is the Shahada. That Shahada does two things. Number one, it plugs us into the reality of La ilaha illallah, which then allows our roots to be able to attain the nourishment that's necessary for us to express the acts of worship. Essentially, you can think of the Shahada as a trunk, and its roots dig into the Tawheed of Allah, and that Tawheed is then informed by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which then allows us to understand how we should express the deen, which is the branches and the leaves and the fruits that come from those branches. So another way to look at it is that the trunk is the Shahada, the branches are the acts of worship, and the fruits of those acts of worship are good character and good manners. And subhanAllah, when you really think about this metaphor, it is very all-encompassing. It's very encompassing. It really captures the essence of our deen in a very succinct illustration. So if we want, and we can look at this from backwards, you can look at this from two directions, but just if you think for a second, let's look at it from one direction. A person plugs in to La ilaha illallah, which is the ultimate reality of the universe. They then follow the footsteps of the chosen messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They begin to express the acts of worship, which essentially deepen their roots into this reality. And when they deepen their roots into this reality, they manifest that through ibadah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And that becomes the branches. And then through that cognizance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that arises from those acts of worship, you see the ultimate manifestation of that Islam, which arises in the way they behave. So this is the, if we use this paradigm, you learn very quickly that the ultimate source is La ilaha illallah. Now we tend to go backwards. We tend to say we should have good character, and then we begin to try to bring good character in our lives. Or because we grew up, many of us grew up as Muslims, we externally or superficially impose the acts of worship upon us. And then we try to dig deep into the oneness of Allah, but it becomes sometimes a burden more than it does an expression. But the reality of deen is that it begins with La ilaha illallah. Of course, as we're young, we learn how to pray, we learn how to manifest those various acts of worship, and as at any time in our life, we're bound by those. But really, you have to begin with this one reality, La ilaha illallah. Honestly, if a person can just appreciate the opportunity of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what type of ecstasy it leads to and what type of opportunity it creates in both this life and the next, then the natural consequence of that will be إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. In fact, I've mentioned this before, but it's worth reflecting on, particularly as the clarity of mind has arisen in the month of Ramadan. In one way, Surah Fatiha itself is highlighting this paradigm. Because when you think of Surah Fatiha, you think, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the Universe, Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent, Ar-Rahim, the Merciful, Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. Now, in these first few verses, what are you talking about? What are you telling yourself? What are we saying? We're talking about the magnificence of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the Universe, the one who created it from nothing, who sustains it, who nourishes it, who guides it, upon whom the entire existence of the universe is dependent. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Very quickly learning of two essential attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which further attract the believer towards Him. Maliki Yawmiddin, quickly recognizing that He's the master of the Day of Judgment, which is really the day of consequence for everybody in this room, for all of creation, actually, for that matter. No one can escape and everyone will be judged. And then what's the consequence of that? Now that you're drawn by the magnificence of Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, now what's the consequence? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone, you alone, you alone do we worship, and you alone, you alone, you alone do we turn for assistance. So very quickly we're learning, even from Surah Fatiha, which we recite so many times and which forms a paradigm for our foundation of deen, we're very quickly learning that it all starts with Allah. It all begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's when a person begins to appreciate the magnificence of their Lord, the grandness of their Lord, the uniqueness of the opportunity to connect with their Lord, the importance of not displeasing their Lord, then from that trunk, then arises إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and then we begin to express the acts of worship. Now, I'm not saying this sequentially in that we begin, like we're not going to do any acts of worship until we get down this foundation. That's not what I'm saying, obviously. But I'm saying the essence of the acts of worship, not this superficial thing that we do where we just quickly, you know, pray, but we have 100 things on our mind, or we quickly pray because we have to, but we're dragging our feet, or we fast a month of Ramadan, but we fear before it comes, how are we going to survive? That's what I'm referring to, meaning that the essence of this deen begins with a reality of La ilaha illallah. It forms the trunk, which then allows the branches to develop. So one of the most important things for every Muslim is to somehow internalize this reality. That's really the challenge. And the reason that the pious predecessors were able to practice deen the way that we hear in these historical descriptions, whether you look at the companions, or honestly, whether you look at the stories in the Quran of all the communities that came before us and the sacrifices that they made and the successes that they were able to achieve, it was all predicated on this, that Allah is the one who controls everything. Allah is the one who sees everything, knows everything, hears everything. He's the beginning. Everything is dependent upon Him. Everything is controlled and in His power. SubhanAllah. If this can be internalized, then the deen becomes expressed the way it should be expressed. And that's what Ramadan is all about. Honestly, Ramadan drags us back to that foundation. It forces us to avoid being distracted by our physical needs. It causes us to pause for literally just a few moments. I mean, what is a day other than a few moments? We woke up this morning and soon we'll be eating once again. Nobody remembers how the fast was. I ask you, how difficult was your fast 2 years ago? You have to think even today, what happened 2 years ago? You can't remember. There's no difficulty in the fasting except it's just a pause. But this pause causes us to stop and reflect and reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through that, we can then express and manifest all the beautiful features of our deen. This is the challenge that all of us face. And there's a few ways by which we attain this. The first is to recognize that the greatest distractor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the demands and the desires, more particularly, I should say, the desires of the body. This is what distracts us from our Lord. We are comprised of two components, a body and a soul. The soul is inherently spiritual. The soul is not deceived by the garbage of the world around us. Soul is not impressed with hot dogs and pizza. This is all a bodily function. The body is the one that requires and wants to eat this and look at that and chase this and pursue that. This is all a function of the body. So the first, or one of the important characteristics, maybe not the first, but one of the important mechanisms is to reduce the emphasis on the body. A person who's going to be able to appreciate the reality of La ilaha illallah, they're not going to be the ones who fill their stomach 3 to 4 times a day. It's discordant with the goal. They're not going to be the ones who are continuously talking and socializing at every single moment and opportunity. They recognize that the growth of the soul arises in keeping the body somewhat hungry, and that the growth of the soul arises in maintaining silence over speech. So this is one very important principle that we should all be aware of. Another important principle is that we should recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put signs around us. And to pause and reflect and to be mesmerized by his signs is a very, very easy and obvious way to be reminded of our Lord. I mean, look out the window. You can see right here. Just everybody can look to their window and you just see the sun. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, look at the sun in all of its glory. It's sitting there millions of miles away. It's burning its fuel. Where did that come from? It's sending its heat. How does it arrive? It's sending its light in the most perfect way. And all of what's present external to the sun is engaged with it. I mean, the light from the sun is coming and my eyes have the ability to receive the exact energy that's coming from that sun. I mean, think about it in a way. It's like the sun has a phone number and I have a phone number. The sun's phone number is a million digits long. My phone number is a million digits long. And the sun can call me and I can call it. Meaning we can communicate with one another. We can relate with one another, although we're two external features. Right? I'm not a piece of the sun, nor is the sun a piece of me. They're two totally independent things. But the sun has the ability to dial my number in such a way that I can see its light and feel its heat. And I have the ability to dial its number in such a way that I can take, my skin can absorb its rays, release vitamin D into my body. It's just completely mind-blowing. The specificity is like, you know, a 1,000-digit phone number. How did it get my number and I have its number? How? When we're two distinct things and I didn't come from it and it didn't come from me, yet we're able to interact, you know, with this 1,000-digit phone number and it knows my number and I know its. It's random? It's not possible. It's all from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it, and every single interaction that occurs, it's not only communicating with me, It's sending a text message to me. It's sending a text message to the plant. It's sending a text message to the ground. It's sending a text message to the clouds. It's sending a text message to the rest of the earth. It's sending it's creating all of its myriad of effects throughout the entire universe. Everything is balanced. I mean, the sun is placed where it's placed. Another star is placed where it's placed. The planets are all placed where it's placed. And every single one of this mosaic is sitting exactly where it's supposed to be. Each one is sending text messages to the other. They know the numbers that they're able to communicate, yet none of them are related with anything else. Where did that, how did that happen? And that's just one simple example. You look at the sun, but subhanAllah, look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the clouds, look at the ground, look at the oceans, look at people, look at children, look at adults, look at the food, look at the animals. Wherever a person turns, there's all these text messages being sent back and forth. I have to say text messages, that's what we understand today. There's these chemical text messages being sent back and forth. This molecule responds to this, that receptor binds this, this wavelength hits this, and then these electrons get energized and get, you know, put up into these higher orbits, you know, to generate the energy necessary to do this. These are all little text messages. When you see such an intricate, crazy, you know, very, very advanced system of all these text messages occurring, how is that happening? It's random? No, it's not random. It's completely under control. Everything is perfectly synchronized exactly in the way that allows each piece to perfectly fit in the puzzle. You don't find even one piece that's off of where it's supposed to be. And all of that is occurring through what? Through the will of Allah. All of that is controlled by Allah. There's no randomness. There's no chaos. Everything is organized. Everything is perfectly balanced. And this is just one of the so many signs. One of the so many signs. I mean, this is just how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of our physical bodies in this world. We didn't even get into the spiritual issues related to how the spirit is taken care of. So it behooves an individual to learn to read the signs of Allah. So we're very, very literate, mashallah. A lot of engineers, doctors, lawyers, etc., sitting here. But we know how to read the books, but we fail to read the obvious. And subhanAllah, the Qur'an demands a literacy. The Qur'an demands literacy of the Muslim. But it doesn't demand a, you know, what is the equation of, you know, energy, or what are the principles of physics that apply to matter, etc. It demands a very simple literacy, which is that look at everything around you and ask a really simple question. Where did this all come from? How is this present? How is everything so perfectly balanced? And the Quran constantly demands that a person look at the sky, look at the moon, look at the ground, look at the way it's spread, look at the animals that have been provided, look at all of the plants and the food and all of this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. This is not coming from anywhere except Allah. So this is where that trunk gets formed. Number one, we have to remove the veil of the body. This, like, I wake up in the morning and I can't see the sun because I'm so worried about Starbucks coffee, or I have to so worried about what I'm going to have for breakfast, or I'm so caught up in the clothes that I'm wearing, or I'm so mesmerized by the phone in my hand. These are distractions. We're missing the point. We're missing the point. The reality is in the present in the universe around us, and we just have to open our eyes. We have to just look at our hands. We have to just look at the sky. It's when a person begins to decrease the emphasis on the body and begins to open up the reality of understanding La ilaha illallah that trunk forms. And I can tell you, when that trunk forms, then acts of worship become an opportunity to deepen the roots. People look to worship. They can't wait to worship. They enjoy worship. They pursue worship. It keeps them up at night. It forces them to wake up in the morning because it becomes an opportunity for an individual to be able to further engage the only thing that matters, which is Allah. Look, we could sit here and engage the sun all day, but the sun is still a creation. We can engage the ground all day, but the ground is still a creation. We can engage the plants all day, but the plants are just creation. We can engage the trees all day, but the trees are just creation. But imagine you have the opportunity to engage the one who created all of this creation. If you're amazed by the sun, then think about the creator of the sun. If you're amazed by the ground, then think about the creator of the ground. If you're amazed by all of the interactions that human beings have and all of the chemical intricacies and that are present within the human being, then imagine the one who created the human being, how magnificent he must be. And this is just kun fayakun. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is just nothing. This is nothing. SubhanAllah, this whole complex universe that we spend all our time studying and learning and understanding, this is the disposable creation of Allah. What do I mean by disposable? This whole thing will be turned into dust one day. The whole thing will be turned into dust one day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does nothing for him. Nothing for him. And then what? And then after that, you'll see the reality. You'll see another layer, which is actually the intended creation, which is still creation, but it's the intended creation, which is Jannah and Jahannam. That's what's intended. That's really what's permanent for the believer and for the one who goes astray. So, the opportunity, if I have to just summarize this whole talk in one word, I'll summarize it in this word, opportunity. The fact that we are part of creation, but have the ability to escape it, to engage with our creator, and escape it, what I mean is to go beyond it, and to engage with the creator instead of being caught in the creation, is the greatest gift. It's the greatest opportunity. We're not caught up in the pursuit of the sun, or the pursuit of the ground, or the pursuit of food, or the pursuit of wealth, or the pursuit of created things. We don't pursue created things. We don't worship created things. We don't seek assistance from created things. We only pursue Allah. We only seek Allah. We worship Allah. We seek assistance from Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's the unique opportunity that falls before us. Otherwise, we become just like the disposable creation that exists around us. What would be the benefit if we pursued a bunch of things that are just going to be turned into dust? The reality is to pursue the Malik of the Rabb of the Alameen. Not the Alameen, the Rabb. All praise is not due to the world. All praise is due to the Lord of the worlds. We should be pursuing the Lord of the worlds, the one who controls all, who controls the consequences on the Day of Judgment, the one who's so merciful that he grants us the opportunity to be able to engage him and worship him and take advantage of his mercy. So this is where Islam, this is that trunk which has to be built, has to be plugged in for a person to be able to express and attain all of the magnificence of their worship. So this is the first, inshallah, through this, through the next few days, we'll go through a series of discussions. But today's discussion is termed opportunity. If I had to, again, summarize the whole thing in one word, it's opportunity. We should take the opportunity to pursue Allah. We should recognize the great gift of La ilaha illallah. I mean, subhanAllah, you know how complex, I shouldn't even, we'll talk about this tomorrow, we're running out of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes to the reality of the opportunity placed before us, and may he make us amongst those who are able to pursue him, worship him, praise him, and seek his assistance alone. Wa akhira ta'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.